Good to see each and every one this morning. And maybe if you have Bibles, you could turn in Exodus chapter 28. Take your time and find it. Excuse me. Exodus chapter 28. If we look at verse 33 to 35. Now this is just speaking about the high priests here. Yeah. And what way God has given the blueprint, what way the temple and the things the temple should be and how the priests should approach God and so forth. It says in verse 33, "And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet, round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between round them about, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and the sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not." We'll just ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we just come and approach you once again, Lord Jesus Christ, in and through your precious name. We ask, Lord, that you just come now and be one of our number. We believe that you're in our midst already, for where two or three are gathered in your name, there you're in the midst. And Lord, we know that you'll bring the blessing. Lord, I pray that you'll just help me now to bring something from your word, Lord Jesus Christ. Not my word, but your word, to help your people. And there may be a blessing upon them. May they not see me, but see you, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us now, I pray, in the remainder of this service, for it's in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. And you may be seated. You know, just something that I experienced there a few months ago that got me thinking about bells. And when you read the Bible, it's not very often you'll hear bell mentioned in the Bible. It's maybe only a few times in the Exodus where it speaks about bells. It's not very often that you'll actually read anything about a bell in the Bible. But the reason why was you know, a few months ago, you know the whole situation with my father, but we had to be down at Belfast at the hospital, and in one of the wards where they have they'd be given treatment for radiotherapy and so forth, you know, I took him down one morning, my mum was there too, and we're sitting in it's a big waiting room, far bigger than in here, and there's lots of people there. You know, them people's in real need. You know, we're in real need here this morning, but them people's in really, really, in the natural, they're in a real need. So they are. And there's maybe 100, 200 people sitting there, and the parents were up at one end, now he's down the bottom. And all of a sudden, I could hear this bell ringing. Now, not just like an ordinary school bell that you'd hear when we were wee, that lifted a bell and they rang it by hand. A proper bell, like what was like a ship bell, probably about that size there. And I got moved up later on, I seen it. And you know what that bell was for? That bell was for when people come out, and when they finished their treatment and they got the all clear, they rang that bell. And you know when that bell rings, everybody was, you know what? Everybody was happy. You know, you could actually see in people's face a smile. People that weren't smiling when they heard that bell, a smile on their face. You get the ones that were ringing it, there was a relief on them. Because no way. In a sense, they had passed from death onto life. And you know, I thought to myself, you know, it's not something. There in the natural, there's a bell. And what's the bell do? It's a sign. You know, it's something that you can hear. It's something that you have to take notice of. And when you hear that, there's, you know what there is? There's a message with it. And even that bell on a ship, it's like a ship's bell is about that height. And you know, it was a loud bell. And when you hear that bell, the message that was going forth there was that person. That person's got another chance.
Yes.
That person's got a chance of life. That's what that bell was representing. Yes. And you know, that bell in the natural may speak of that, but here's a bell this morning that gives us, when you ring this bell, it's full of life.
Yes.
And you know, we ought to be more than happy. You know, when you see in the natural people that has got that, that it gets that opportunity to ring that. You see how pleased they are, how they get their photograph took beside it. When you see that, You can't help it but happy. You know, it doesn't matter what sort of mood you've been when you go there. When you see that, it does something that touches you. It speaks to you. And you know, this word here, it speaks to man and it speaks to women. It speaks to boys and it speaks to girls. You know, there's power of life in it this morning. You know, when what does the bell do? You know, on a ship, you know what it does? On a ship, it rings out a message on a ship. It maybe rings out a message to warn others. You know, in the fog, years ago, before there was radar and all, you know, radar was only really invented around the time of the Second World War. We take all these things for granted. We take everything we have a mobile phone in your pocket today and you can do nearly anything on it. But not even 100 years ago, we didn't even have radar where they could see where a plane was coming in and what height it was, or just even to alert that there was something coming. You know, just over 100 years from man was able to fly, we take all these things for granted. I'd say there's hardly a person here that hasn't been on a plane. You know, if somebody hasn't been on a plane, you're in the minority now. But that bell, years ago on a ship, when it was in the fog, it's not in the fog, what did they do? They rang the bell. It was to warn other ships that there was a chance of danger coming. You know, how do you ring the bell through God's word? Through the foolishness of preaching the gospel. There's the bell ringing. What's the bell ringing this morning? Through the foolishness of preaching the gospel. And you might say, oh, it's not foolishness. But to men and women in the world, it does seem foolishness. Maybe you think we're head cases. Well, you know, really, who is the head case? So, like somebody said one time, some man was wearing a t-shirt and it said on the front of it, I'm a fool for Christ. But when he walked past on the back of it, it said, whose fool are you? That's the truth this morning. You know, there's so much stuff you could say from that. You know what else it says? On the other hand, and maybe we'll give a warning. We all know the story of the Titanic. But when they spotted that iceberg, what did they do? They rang the bell. It was a warning call. It's a warning call to all as well. You know, this word's a warning call. It's a warning call to all, that whosoever. To the whosoever. It's not limited, it's to the whole whosoever. The whole world. I thank God that we are a people that live in an age that people say it's the most evil age. Maybe we're most advanced. Maybe we're going back to the days of Noah. But you know something about this age? You have the ability. If you have money, you can go in and you can buy the Bible and you can read it in your own language. And you can. Nobody's going to persecute you for reading it at home. But not so long ago, you couldn't have read your Bible. People suffered. People gave their lives for this. This Orange Hall, sometimes you'll see the banner out in the background, July time. And who's on it? Ridley and Latimer. Ridley and Latimer were burnt at the stakes for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a privilege this morning that we can lift this and we can read it. You can even on your phone, you can download the Bible free of charge. And if you can't read it, it'll read it for you. It'll play it for you. That's the advance we have got.
Amen.
But you know the sad thing? People don't have time.
That's right.
People don't have time. People can't make time for that. But what is it? It's a sign of the time we're in.
That's right.
It's a sign, a lackadaisical time.
Yep.
A time when, you know, something else on. Something more to appealing to the eye. Mm. It's maybe not just as appealing anymore. But you know, God's word never changes.
Amen.
There's been power in it from the word. From the moment Jesus spoke in the times that he was on this earth, there was power in his words. There's still power in his word tonight, this morning. But what does it speak of then in the spiritual? It speaks of life. In John chapter 1 and verse 4 it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ. There's the simplicity of the gospel.
Glory.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Amen.
If you have that, if you have Jesus this morning, you have life in your life. You have life. It says in John chapter 3, in verse 14, I'll turn to it. John chapter 3, verse 14, and Ian has already quoted this morning in his prayer. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now, what were they speaking of? Jesus was speaking this. Is Jesus speaking this? He's speaking that he was going to be lifted up from the earth on the cross. You know, we sing the song, "Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher." When we sing that, you really, in a sense, you're trying to say, "Lift Jesus up that he may be praised, lift his name up." But when Jesus spoke this, he was speaking about being crucified, where he was lifted off the earth.
Amen.
And you know, that was not something that was easy. Crucifixion was one of the most horriblest death that man could face. It was you know, when you think of people that suffered for the gospel, people that were thrown asunder, people that were burned at the stake, you know, they're awful, awful deaths. But even in that, in a sense, they're really awful. If you were thrown asunder, it's over in a few minutes. Maybe burnt to death, where you would go through, you would feel excruciating pain. But it will come a point where you're not able to stand it anymore and you would pass out. And then you would be dead. But crucifixion, that's how evil the Romans were. It lasted for days. They would have nailed men, left them on the cross. And the people would have suffered for days. That's how evil they were. And then that's why they said, because of the high day, they were coming up towards the Passover. And the Jews said, to kill them. And they said, break their legs. Because when they broke their legs, they couldn't lift themselves up to get a breath, and they would suffocate, they would die all that sooner. But that's what Jesus was speaking of here. That's what he was prepared to do. And when he went to the cross, you know what? He went like me and you. He went as an ordinary man. They said the Spirit left him. And he suffered as an ordinary man upon that cross for us. But the difference was, he was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. That was the difference. And when he died there, what happened? He went into hell and he took the keys of death, hell and the grave off the devil. He took back fully. Somebody said he assumed full and total responsibility that day at Calvary.
Amen.
You know what? People try to maybe diminish the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. It says the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in him.
Amen.
He was every bit God. He was the Son of God, but he was every bit God. Excuse me. And it says in verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen.
There's the bell of the gospel. Life in it. John chapter 6, verse 47, just over the page. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Jesus Christ, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. There's life in the Word of God. There's so much scriptures you could go into this morning about life. But then when you maybe think of other ones, about what else does that spell, that bell? When I've seen people ringing that bell, I've seen people rejoicing. There's rejoicing also in that message of the Lord.
Amen.
And in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18, I'll not turn to it. Matthew, you can pull it up. Habakkuk 3:18. It says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." There's real joy in God in the salvation. There's joy this morning. You know, if you're not feeling, if you come here this morning and you're feeling a bit downcast, maybe you're feeling a bit under the weather, maybe you're feeling the whole world's against you, but there's joy in the Lord.
Amen.
Think of what the Lord has done for you.
That's right.
Think, this is only, you're only here for a short time.
Right.
If you live to be 100 here, what is this? It's only a vapor. Your life's but as a vapor.
Amen.
But joy in the Lord. When you pass from death unto life, if you're a Christian,
amen,
what you'll inherit, you know what you are? You're a son and daughter of the Lord. That's what you are.
Amen.
You have an inheritance this morning in heaven.
Amen.
There'll be no more sorrow there, no more pain, no more suffering. Aren't you glad for that this morning?
Amen.
You know what? There's no darkness there because he's the light.
Amen.
He's the light of that city.
Hallelujah.
There's no need for the sun. Thank the Lord this morning for that. But in Luke chapter 15, and I know I'm going through a lot of verses here, but isn't it good?
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll, You know, it showed you that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, it's not just in one place, one verse where maybe somebody will work with, but it shows you how on a lot of occasions the Lord spoke about these things. But what does chapter 15 say? And we'll just start at verse 1 and we'll read down to verse 10. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Now, who here came to hear Jesus? It was all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. They came to hear the words of Jesus. You know what? Isn't it something that the sinners, they came to hear Jesus? You know, they had came. Why had they came? They had came to hear Jesus, the word from Jesus. Because why? They maybe had heard a testimony how somebody's life had been changed. How somebody maybe had been healed. How maybe somebody had been raised from the dead. Maybe somebody had been healed from leprosy. But they had came. There was a desire on them to come to hear Jesus. And what happened in verse 2? And it says, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured." There was the religious men.
Yep.
Oh boy, they were religious. You know, they were smart. They were the ones, they knew the law. Pharisees, these men and these scribes, they were real smart. You know, they weren't just an ordinary man. They were, boy, they were high up. They were better than the most of the people. Jesus recounts about the prayer, about the Pharisees stood there and prayed and said, "I thank you, I'm not like these others." But what about that publican? He smote his chest. He said, "Lord, forgive me, just a sinner."
Amen.
And whose prayer was heard? It was that sinful man's prayer was heard. Because you know what? It come from his heart. But here it says, "These Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Isn't that terrible? Imagine the Messiah coming and receiving sinners. Imagine what did they think the Messiah was going to do? What had God done all along? When the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, God delivered them. And you know, when they sinned, you know what happened? Moses stood, he pleaded for them, and you know what happened? God forgave them. And when they committed evil, and God had sent the snakes, and they bit them, and so many of them were down, and what happened? He showed mercy once again on them, and he says, "Make an image, a brass image of a serpent. Put it up," and when somebody got bit by a serpent, all they had to do was look to that image.
Right.
Look to that brass image. And that, you know what? They were healed.
Yes.
If we look to Jesus this morning, look to him for life.
Amen.
But here it said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them."
Yes.
Well, what does it say in John 6:37? It says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me."
Amen.
"And him to cometh. Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out."
Amen.
So if you come to Jesus, he'll not cast you out.
Amen.
You know, people here, sometimes you'll be a great fellow with them, but it might come to a time where they couldn't be bothered with you.
Right.
They'll have no time for you.
Yeah.
Maybe you have no time for somebody else. Maybe there's people in your life and you're dread to see them coming, but you can't be bothered with them. You know, that's maybe not right. But there is ones like that in here. It's like John said one time, I remember years ago, he said, "If you've seen somebody coming, you'd be safer going back to bed." And you know, some days you feel like that. But Jesus says, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Thank the Lord for that. Verse 4, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing." So here we see about rejoicing. So in the natural, somebody that has lost something of value to them, when they find it again, they rejoice.
Amen.
You know, if you have something in the natural, something maybe of value, and you lose it, maybe you imagine a woman, if she lost her engagement ring or her wedding ring, and you found it again, wouldn't you be glad?
Yeah.
No, I'd be glad. I wouldn't want to buy another one. But they'll be rejoicing. But here in it says, "And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders." And then naturally he laid the lamb on the shoulders. What did Jesus put on his shoulders? He put a cross on it for you.
That's right.
And he carried it. You know, his shoulders, they weren't big strong shoulders, big broad shoulders. There were shoulders that the flesh had been whipped off from his neck down out over his body. That's the shoulders Jesus put a big cross on, and he carried it through the street. And when he could carry it no longer, they compelled Simon the Cyrene to come and help him. And then they nailed him to that cross for you and for me. That's what Jesus done for you. Verse 6, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. What about that cross? What about that sinner beside him, that thief? You know what he said? He said, Lord, remember me.
Yes.
And Jesus says to him, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
There was great rejoicing. Maybe when they were looking at Jesus on the cross, and all that knew him, Mary and all those women and the disciples, they were in turmoil when they seen him. You know, in what state were they thinking when they thought they had lost Jesus? Maybe he had told them he would raise again, but you know what? It didn't really sink in that he was going to raise the third day. But there, in the midst of that, there was a thief. And he was going through a physical pain in his own body, because he was nailed to that cross too. He was being crucified. But Jesus says, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. I believe that man rejoiced. Maybe he didn't see it on his face, but I believe there was great rejoicing in his soul. And you know what it says here? It says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. More than over 99 just persons with need no repentance. There's a song when it says about the bells of heaven that ringing. You know, I believe there was bells ringing in heaven when that man on that cross,
amen,
when he got saved.
Yes.
I believe there was joy, because the word of God says there was likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I believe the angels sang.
Yes.
I believe the angels flew through the heavens. But you know something? When you ask the Lord as your Savior, the exact same thing happens. There was joy in heaven over a sinner.
Yes. Yes.
Verse 8, either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that this morning.
Amen.
You know, there's so much you could say about rejoicing. You know what rejoice means if you look it up in the dictionary? It says to feel or show great joy or delight.
Amen.
Happiness, pleasure, joy, delight, elation, cheer, jubilation, euphoria, rapture and triumph. If you only take them two last words, rapture and triumph, that's, you know what that is? That's the future for the bride of Christ. The rapture followed by the triumph. And you ought to be rejoicing because of that. I wanted also to turn to Acts chapter 8. Philip the evangelist here in verse 5. You know, Philip was some man of God.
Amen.
So he was. Like people talk about no disciples after the 12 and all, but this Philip, I could be wrong, but I think at one time this Philip is actually a different Philip from the 12 apostles, isn't that right? That's right. This is Philip the evangelist, and it says in verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria.
Yes.
So where did he go to? He went to Samaria, and what was Samaria? It was a Gentile city. What about the Good Samaritan? When all those other holy religious men walked past that man that was in need, land, beaten up on the ground, who come to him? It was the Good Samaritan, and that cared for him and tended for him. And here's Philip going down. What's he doing? He's going on a missionary trip to the Gentiles. Because, you know what? The Jews had rejected Christ.
Right.
And Jesus said, those that were not a people will become the people of God.
Right.
By grace. It's by grace this morning.
Amen.
That we as Gentiles, a Gentile nation, have the opportunity, because in the turning away, the rejecting of the Jews that turned away Jesus, it opened the door for a Gentile bride to come in. But here's the thing, when that time's up for the Gentile bride, when that bride comes in, the Lord turns right back to Israel again.
Yeah.
And then that's when they're saved. Israel is a nation. There'll be a number come out of her that will be saved. So here is Philip, and he goes to the Samaritans, to the Gentiles. And what happened? And preach Christ unto them.
Yes.
There was the simplicity of the gospel. He preached Christ unto them. He didn't start with what he believed or what somebody else believed or many different fractions there was or all these different things or what he thought. He preached Jesus Christ unto them.
Amen.
And what followed it? It says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So here was power with this minister. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city.
Amen.
So when Jesus Christ was preached, what happened? There was great joy in that city. There was rejoicing in that city. There was a bell ringing again in that town of Samaria. There was a bell ringing. What was it? It was the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And what followed that bell? Life and rejoicing. That's what followed it. But I'm nearly finished. And if I'm finished early, don't be panicking. It's time to pray. We can praise. You can worship God. But what is the other side of it? You know, that bell. It's sad to say there's people and they'll never get the opportunity to ring that bell. They will never get it because you know what? They'll pass away. They'll never get that opportunity. Maybe people will do all they can to help them, but they'll never get that opportunity. And people, here's the sad thing. Here's the gospel bell this morning.
That's right. Yeah.
And people's just walking past it. It might be hanging in full view, but they'll never put their hand forth and reach for it. They'll never say, well, there's a bell and it signifies life and I'm going to go for it. If I have a chance, I'm going for it. They'll not do that. They'll just walk on past it. And they mightn't even notice it. They might just walk past it and take no notice of it. Somebody might say to them, what's that bell for? And they say, I don't know. It's been there a long time. I never really paid any attention to it. But what does that bring? It brings forth death. They rejected Christ. John chapter 1 verse 11. He came unto his own and his own received him not. He came unto that Jewish people. And what did they do? They rejected him. It says in the Bible, you'll read about how all the prophets, who did Jesus say had killed them? He said their own people, the religious men, the Pharisees, had killed the most of them. And what happened? They sent Christ. They rejected Christ. When it come to Pilate and he says, well, I release Barabbas unto you. They said, forgive me. They said, well, I release Jesus unto you or Barabbas. And Barabbas was a murderer. And then what they done? They rejected Christ and they said, release unto us Barabbas. And they picked the murderer over the one that killed life and the one that brought life. That's what they done. John chapter 12 and verse 48. It says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. So what judges people? It's the word.
Amen.
The word judges people. If God says, God's word says, thou shalt not steal. And you decide that you're going to, something you see and you want it. And you can't pay for it. You haven't the money for it, but you're going to steal it. God says, thou shalt not steal. When it comes to that great judgment seat, if you're not a Christian and you're not prepared, you know what will happen? The word of God, I believe you'll hear that thou shalt not steal. And you will see every time in your life when you stole something. And you'll be condemned. God won't have to condemn you because you've condemned yourself already. His word condemns you. Whatever it says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. What's happening today? People that's killed and murdered in our country have been put into positions of power, authority, government. That's the sort of age we're in. Where the vilest men are exalted. That's an age we're in today. But they will not escape because the word of God says, thou shalt not murder.
Yeah.
And no murderer will enter heaven. But there may be things there more extreme where people is murdered. But then what about the man that commits adultery? The woman that commits adultery? What about the idolater? The ones that has their own gods. Maybe they have made Muhammad their god. Maybe they made somebody else their god. Maybe they've made their car their god or their house their god. You know, because anything that's an object of worship that you put before God, that's idolatry. That's where you put something else. You make something else a god other than the Lord your God.
Yes.
What about them? What about the just the one that had no time for the things of Christ? Just ignored the things of Christ. Just so I'm all right, I'll do my own thing. Maybe a great term today is a humanist. We're humanists. What is a humanist really? It's an atheist, basically. You know what a humanist is? A humanist is the exact same as each and every one of us before you met the Lord. You're a sinner, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And it no matter what title you give yourself, what you are in this world, whether you're a professor, whether you're a Muslim, whether you even call yourself a Christian. Because you know what? The Pope says he's a Christian. And like a lot of the religious world count him as the leader of the Christian church, the Pope. But the thing about it, he was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. There's only one way to pass from death unto life. That's through accepting the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Romans 10 and 9, what does it say?
Amen.
We all know this. Romans 10 and 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's the gospel. If thou believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. And on down to verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
There's the gospel this morning.
Amen.
It's not a complicated gospel. You know, I think people sometimes maybe think that they're doing God a favour. They maybe think that they'll try to explain the Bible to you. And all they'll do, they'll confuse themselves and they'll confuse you and they'll confuse all that listen to them. Because in a sense they're trying to explain the Word of God and explain things, but really, as Brother Branham said one time, if you can really explain the Godhead, you've missed it. That's what he said. If you can explain it, you've really missed it. Because in your head knowledge, there's many things I maybe think I could explain, and then I come to find out I don't know it at all. Maybe I thought I knew some stuff, but when it comes to it, I didn't really know it at all. You know, one of the things there, I was just reading up there I was reading up about that priest and them bells. And you know, we've all heard where somebody said in the high priest, when he went in, he had a rope tied around his ankle, and if he didn't go in right, that he would fall down dead and had to drag him out. And that sounds good. You not find it in this Bible. I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. Do you think that God, when he went to such detail, how that them garments had to be woven, what they had to be woven out of, what colours they had to be, there's such detail in the temple and in the garments and in all the instruments, and where that robe had to have a bell and a pomegranate and a bell, that he might not die. And people talk about when he went into the Holies of Holies, that if he had that rope to pull him out, that's not right. It's not in the Bible. That's some man's education has come up with that.
That's right.
And it sounded good. But when you really study the Bible and you look into those things, that nobody ever spoke about that before the 13th century. Around the 13th century was the first time that ever somebody had come up with that idea.
Right.
And do you think that God, when he went into that detail, that he wouldn't have told him, tie a rope around your waist or around your ankle? And if he had told him that, he'd have told him what detail to go into over that. But he didn't do it. And when you read it, and you see, the only time I think in the Bible, to my knowledge, I could be wrong, where somebody died, was the Aaron's two sons. Aaron's two sons did not go into the Holiest of Holies. They had strange fire upon their censer, and they went into the temple and they dropped dead. And they went in, they sent men in to bring them out. If they'd been in the holiest of holies, then men could not have brought them out. When they went into the holiest of holies, they didn't wear the garments that the veils was round. They stripped those garments off them, and they wore just the linen undergarment. That's how they had to approach God. You know, it all sounds good, but you have to check it out with the Word of God. There's a lot of doctrine might sound good.
Yes.
Check it out with this Word of God. If you can't forget, find it, leave it alone.
That's right.
Maybe something, I don't know, could happen like that. But if it's not in this Word, just pass it on by. It's like, leave the bones, eat the chicken. That's, you know, that's a true, a simple saying, but it's true. But you know, what is in this Bible, you can stand upon it.
Yes.
Because there's everything in this Bible you need.
Yes.
When Jesus spoke it, it was God speaking.
Amen.
That's the difference. You know, I hope I've been an encouragement to you.
Yes.
My prayer is that our families, that those that's not saved will be saved in these days of grace. And maybe if we can ring that gospel bell in front of them, and get them to a point where they can come and ring it themselves and pass from death unto life.
Amen.
And not only will they be rejoicing on earth, they'll be rejoicing in heaven also.
Amen.
You know, if you, prayer is just encourages each and every one. You know, here's the thing, we're all of us were sinners, born in sin, shaken in iniquity. And a lot of times, that old man and that old woman that died, Christ the resurrected their life. But there's always mercy with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's always forgiveness. If you do something wrong, God does not condemn you. There's always, you know what? He's only one prayer away. It says, what does it say? A propitiation for our sins. Say, when the disciples asked him, if my brother sinned against me, how often should I forgive him? Seven times in a day? Jesus says, I say unto you, 7 times 70.
Yes.
Forgive him. Because the Lord, he forgives each and every one of us.
Amen.
You know, you pass from death unto life. Maybe we'll just pray and then we'll hand over again to Gary.
Yeah.
Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again this morning that you're one of our number.
Yeah.
That we're able to come to this place, Lord, and worship you. Praise your mighty and your holy name. Lord, our prayer is this morning that you'll just be one of our number. We pray that you'll come, Holy Spirit, and have thy way. Move in our midst, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to worship you and help us to praise your mighty name, for you alone are worthy of it, Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer is for our families and our friends, for those that's not saved and don't know you as their own and personal Savior, that you will save them. May your Holy Spirit go to them now, strive upon them, convict them of their sin and show them their need of salvation. Lord, if it means just some of us saying something simple to them that convicts them of their sin, help us to do it. Help us not to be dummies and sit back and not say a word, but help us, Lord, give us boldness. But boldness from you, Lord Jesus Christ. Not of ourselves, not to boast or be proud, but a boldness with respect and humility for your glory and for your honour, Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for the services that lie ahead. Bless them. Pray for the services at Gary's house. That, Lord, that you would move and save souls. I pray for our pastor Tommy this morning, that wherever he is in America, if it's Philadelphia or New York, that you'd be with them and be one of their number.
Yeah.
Save souls for your glory, and may we hear a good report. And Lord, I pray that you'd bring him home and Audrey home in safety. Provide us every need and Sharon's every need and their families every need. For it's in and through your precious name we ask it. Lord, we pray these things now. And in through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. For again.
You know, I really enjoyed that. You know, my sister Debbie rang that bell he was talking about. And praise the Lord for that. You know, what he said was so true. In the spiritual, you have a bell to ring. And you know, as Mark says, some people don't take the opportunity to ring it. They don't want to ring it. You know, but, you know, whenever you're born again, we're all born, as Mark said, we're born in sin. Each and every one of us was born with a terminal illness.
Right.
That means there's no cure for it. It means you're going to die. But when you were born again, you escaped it.
Amen.
And we escaped the death sentence. Praise the Lord. We're passed from death unto life. And we ring the bell.
Amen.
And that Bible is as often as the bell we ring. And if we're not ringing it, well, we're not rejoicing. But we ought to be ringing it and saying, I've passed from death on the life. Isn't that right? I have been rescued, I have escaped, like the psalmist David said, my soul has escaped, like a bird, out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are escaped, praise God, and help us in the name of the Lord. Now, did you ever see a little bird that was caught in the trap? Or did you say, you think he just hangs around the trap? No, he flies away with joy. He flops everything, and you also know what I mean when he is saved. No, just so many things has been on my heart lately, and I was just thinking of Mark and saying that I was ringing that bell, and we have a responsibility to ring it.
Amen.
You know, years ago I remember coming across a scripture in Ezekiel about Ezekiel being the watchman, and just there about a year ago or so, my dad gave me a tape of John preaching in Needham, and that was his text about the watchman that was responsible for watching over Israel. And God said to Ezekiel, he says, you're responsible to tell the people.
Right.
And he says, if the people don't listen to you, I will require their own blood at their own hands. But if you refuse to tell them and they don't come, I will require their blood at your hands. And that's what it is this morning. God will require their blood at our hands if we don't tell them. We're commissioned with a message of the gospel, praise God. There's a little course, there's a lovely course that says, the Lord has been so good to me. That's the news. That's the news. He set a word of sinners free. That's the news. That's the news. Well, I have got good news to tell. My Saviour hath done all things well and triumphed over death and hell. That's the news. That's the news. Praise God. We've got good news to tell this morning, and we want to tell them. We don't want to keep it a secret. We don't want to keep it under wraps. We've got to publish it from the housetops. We've got to have that joy in our heart to say, not joy and not rejoicing in our heart. When we tell somebody, we've got to be convincing that you really enjoy your salvation and that you're glad to be saved, that you have actually been saved from death. You know, if somebody gave you that news, those people come out, Mark said, when they rang that bell, their whole expression changed. There was a weight lifted off their shoulders, and even maybe if they themselves weren't feeling well, they were glad for somebody else has been through it, and they're out the other side, and that's what it's like, praise God. And I'm glad that I've been saved. I'm glad that he rescued me, and I'm ringing that bell this morning and said, he saved me. I'm passed from death on to life, praise God. Let us honor people who are going to sing that little hymn. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love, praise God. I have a song that Jesus gave me. A song from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. There's a melody of love. Praise the Lord. Amen. That was a good one. I like this. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ring that bell.
Yeah.
Life had fled, oh glorious day, losing my soul from out the dead, love found no way.